Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's time for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome and good morning, Roto Experts in the Morning. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Joe Galena, along with George Kurtz, Yang, filling in for the Fantasy Prince this morning. Going to be pushing all the right buttons. Love working with Yang. Worked with him during the football season. So welcome, Yang. Good morning. And so, George, how's it going, buddy?
It's going, right? It's going. I have a draft tonight. Fantasy baseball. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it's that league. My friend passed away a couple of weeks ago. I was in this league probably about 20 years ago, but they asked me to take over his team. So, of course, I'll do so tonight. It's an auction league.
Wow. That's an honor, in all seriousness. You know, sad that your friend passed away, but now you get to keep up the tradition, and hopefully you kick some ass, right, for him.
Yeah, it's funny. They're actually calling the league that Pete has money left over because and it's funny how guys just never change. Because I remember from when I played with him, he was always somebody who always had money left over in the auction. Always a very patient person during the draft. He wouldn't. Mm-hmm. He was not bidding early. You know, he's not bidding on the Trouts or whatever players there were back then. He wasn't going to spend that kind of money. But because he waited, he was able to get bargains. But he always had money left over at the draft. And when I say money left over at the draft, I'm talking, you know, $10, $12, $15, a lot for an
auction. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I will not be doing that strategy tonight. I thought about it, but I'm like, I don't think I have the patience to wait 50 players in before I start bidding on players. So, I have an auction tonight at 7 o'clock, and the first 10 days of the season will not count. Apparently ESPN doesn't allow you to backtrack. They'll start from tomorrow's games on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? This is interesting because did you say it was a keeper league or no? You start from scratch? I know you said it's an auction.
It's a four-man keeper league. It's one of those leagues I don't like when this kind of keeper league, but you can only keep, like, it's four keeper league. You have to keep a catcher or an infielder. You know, that's one of your keepers. Then an outfielder or a DH. That's your second keeper. Then one starting pitcher, one relief pitcher, rather than just four best players. So unfortunately for this team, he doesn't have a relief pitcher to keep. He has three relievers on his roster. One's ineligible because it was kept last year. You can only keep it for, I guess, the year you drafted it, and one additional. So that was Iglesias. So I can't keep him. And his other two closers were Britton and Rondon. So they're obviously, you know, I'm not keeping those. No reason to. And so I won't have a relief pitcher. He has two good starting pitchers to choose from, Blake Snell and Charlie Morton. But Snell was for $2. And this league, the price goes up 10% to the highest dollar. So obviously it'd be 2.2, which goes to $3. I'll gladly keep Blake Snell for $3.
Yeah, absolutely.
The outfielder will be Mitch Haniger, which I think is also going to be $2 for Haniger. And then my one debate will be the infielder. Both $2, Muncy or Vladimir Guerrero? Which one do I keep?
What are you leaning towards?
Right now, I mean, I'll do some research today, but I think Guerrero's coming up in about a week. So I can eat the week, you know, for no points for Guerrero and just plug somebody else in there. So I believe I could change my mind. But I believe I'm going to keep Guerrero here. But like I said, I could change my mind, put Muncy at first base. First base is kind of a weak position. But as much as I like Muncy, he doesn't play quite every day. They have a lot of good, a lot of talent there on the Dodgers.
Yes.
So that's my one issue there. You know, if I'm going to eat, a week with Guerrero anyway, Muncy will, granted, he'll play during that week, but eventually over the long season, it'll even out. So I believe I'm going with Guerrero.
Do you think Guerrero's just going to hit the ground running? I mean, you know, obviously a tremendously talented, you know, prospect. And or any concerns over him, you know, re-injuring himself? Or do you think that that injury was just almost like an excuse for them to not take too much grief for keeping him down and, you know, consideration of keeping him under their control for longer?
Oh, I think that was a very convenient injury. Let's put it that way. Sure, he did have the he was injured, but he was hitting almost right away after it. He's hitting now, so he's good to go. But they're certainly going to wait for the service time now, which I believe is in about a week, give or take. And Lord knows with that offense, they need him up there because that offense is putrid.
So this is an interesting thing that you're drafting like a week and a half into the season. Do you how do you think that maybe your strategy is changing? You know, based on what we've seen so far this year. I mean, obviously, you know, injuries are injuries. Like, you know, I guess if you know that someone's going to be out, you know, for I don't know, a couple of weeks, then you still, if you think that they've got enough fantasy value, you take them. But how do you think that it would change for you? You know, any in terms of strategy?
Well, the first strategy,
I'm sorry.
The first strategy would have been as far as injuries are concerned, keepers. But luckily, we went through my keepers. None of my keepers are hurt, so I didn't have to make that tough a decision. Like, if you had Stanton and I wanted to keep him, you know, that would have been a tough decision there. He's out another week, too, and we're hoping he comes back. You know, that sort of thing there. But that wasn't a problem, so I didn't have to worry about that. And obviously, injuries overall will affect an auction value of somebody. Yeah. So that will change things. Other than that, I don't know if many things are going to change. It is only 10 days, and you don't want to make any rash judgments over on somebody over this small sample size. We all know there are certain players that get off to slow starts each and every year. They don't hit well for whatever reasons. It is in April, in this case, April and March. It's still a little cool up in the Northeast. You know, we've seen games, you know, in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, been a little cold. So you don't want to once again, you don't want to penalize those players either for a slow start there. So I don't know what's going to change all that much for me. I haven't seen the list of keepers, so I don't know. Obviously, I haven't made my final decision. I knew there's anybody else. And I don't think I think this draft at 7, and they don't have to hand in their keepers till 6. So, I don't know how fast he's going to get those posted. But it's going to make for an interesting draft analysis here about what players you want to go for during this auction. You know, if 9 first basemen are kept, you know, that sort of thing, and I need a first baseman, that can make things interesting.
Now, what is your strategy usually when it comes to these auctions? Are you the kind of guy that'll throw out a name that, you know, has value to other people but not to yourself and look for people to exhaust their budget? Are you that kind of a guy, or how do you play it usually?
Everybody does that. I mean, that's no longer a secret now. We're all doing that. I'll mix it up somewhat. You know, I will. Once again, this is not an industry league. This is I don't think I know. I know maybe one or two of the other owners in this league. So I don't think this is a heavy as far as, oh, my God, I got better watch what I'm doing here. It's not that kind of thing. I'm gonna have fun during this draft and just go about it normal. But I would normally mix it up. And so sometimes I would throw out players. Sometimes I wouldn't. This is a league. Also, I believe he said it's a standard league. I think it's, well, it's not standard. 7x7. Mm-hmm. So that's a couple of extra categories there. It's standard as far as the roster is concerned. 14 offense, 9 pitchers, 5 reserves. But the reserves get auctioned as well. Generally, that doesn't happen. Generally, your reserves, you just do a snake draft. But apparently, from what I've heard, I'm guessing they didn't do something correctly, but that ESPN couldn't handle it. Because that's the site we're using here. But I got to believe that's not true. So I think they just didn't know how to do it, and I'm not getting involved in that as far as helping them out because I don't want to get involved. And so, like I said, I'll mix it up somewhat. You know, and I can't tell you an exact strategy until I see all the keepers. You know, what's left? You know, am I desperate at a position? You know, did one position get crushed during the keepers where they kept, you know, like I said, 9 first basemen they kept, and also I have no first baseman. I don't care if they kept 9 catchers. Catchers suck anyway. So, you know, and it is a two-catcher league, which I can't stand nowadays. Yeah, but I think this is only a 10-team league that helps out a little bit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's only a 10. I could be wrong on this. Once again, I didn't this just came about last night. So, looking at this. So, it changes strategy somewhat depending on the keepers, which I'm waiting for. But like I said, that's going to be rough. This auction starts at 7, and the keepers aren't being announced till 6, and then the commissioner still has to input the keepers. I may only have 30 minutes lead time to figure out exactly what I want to do.
Well, interesting. So good luck. Good luck in your draft tonight. Yeah, you know, that's the one thing that once the seasons start in fantasy, whether it be football, you know, basketball, baseball. I mean, look, so many of us just love to draft. I mean, yeah, it's fun to manage the team throughout the season, work the waiver wire trades and whatnot. But, you know, there's nothing like being involved in a draft. So and I think, we talked auction drafts, a lot of fun because you could target, you know, better who you want in a team. You know, you're not going to get sniped. You know, it just depends on if you manage your money right. But they also take a lot of time, right?
That's my one thing. I wasn't thrilled when I heard this thing was still in auction. I'm like, oh. I mean, auctions are the fairest way to draft. I'll fully admit that. But, you know, committing 4 hours tonight, like I said, starts at 7, and this won't start at 7. I imagine it'll start closer to 8. It means I'll be here till midnight, you know, before this thing is finished.
Easily,
10-team league, 280 players have to be auctioned.
Oh, what's 10-team? Okay.
It's still, I imagine it'll be midnight. You know how these auctions work. Someone will have computer problems. We'll have to backtrack bids because someone screws it up. Or someone, you know, they lost their connection, that sort of thing. And that happens during expert drafts, more or less during this thing. So that's the only thing I'm not looking forward to is that long night. And I'm already, it's been a long week. I would have liked to have gone to bed early tonight, but that's not going to happen now.
All right, so good stuff, George. Good luck tonight. And so just we're going to be here for 3 hours, Roto Experts in the morning. We'll be talking some news around the league, take a look at some of the box scores from last night and how that affects your fantasy life here. Waiver wire, I know the waivers are running tonight in almost all leagues, right? We'll talk a little DFS. And as the lineups get announced, we'll let you know who's in and who's out. But, you know, in the few minutes we have remaining till we go to commercial, the first thing I wanted to mention was a pet peeve of mine, George, when it comes to, fantasy baseball. And I know that one of your pet peeves is, hey, you want unlimited injury spots, right? But, which is fine. But, this season I'm playing in two, head-to-head leagues. And, the season started last Thursday, but the week runs from, let's say, last Thursday to today. So it's like a week and a half. So if the season if the first week of the season would have ended last Sunday, I would have won handily in both of these leagues. And luckily enough, you know, they've extended the first week of the season till today, Sunday. And, I'm still leading. But that's almost like a pet peeve of mine when it comes to, like, you know, it's so important to win your week in these head-to-head leagues, right? That, you know, one win could mean a difference of whether or not you make the playoffs in these leagues. So, yeah, that's just something that really, you know, bothers me. I was like, you know, so excited last week because I'm like, I'm leading 8-2 or 7-3 in these, and I'm going to have a win. And then all of a sudden, you know, I realize, you know, I check the league rules, and it's like, God, you know, we're still going on for a week and a half, and who knows what could happen in a week and a half. So that's a pet peeve of mine.
What's the what's the exact pet peeve here that it went on? It went on too long.
That's it. Yeah, I think it should be changed. I don't care if every other league in America is like that.
All right. I mean, if you don't bring it up to your league, I don't know if you can complain about it.
No, I'm not going to bring it up to the league and, you know, just be a baby about it. But it's just you know.
Why not? If you want a rule change, you got to put it up there. Maybe other people in your league feel like you do, and they'd rather have the 4-day week, and then count the both weeks. When my home league does, it was voted. It was literally voted. I brought it. Do you want a 4-day week or an 11-day week? And they voted for the 4. So away we did, and that's a week league in which we. We give out weekly prizes. The highest scoring team for the week, it's a points league. The highest scoring week gets money. So, you know, do you want to make it for 4-day weeks and see if, you know, the hot team over a couple of days wins, or do you want to make it over 11-day, a little fairer? And they voted the 4-day week, which I knew they would. They always do. But that's the way we do it. So, once again, that eliminates the bitching about it. Can't complain about stuff if you don't vote for it, or if you don't put it up there. So that's what we do. That's the way most leagues should work, by the way. Put things up for a vote. Should be a commissioner decision. Should be put up for a vote. Let your league members decide. Yeah, what they want to do is where the majority rules. And they get what they want there. So I'm only playing in one head-to-head league. And like you, now I'm not psychotic. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. I'm not psychotic in that I check my scores over and over again. To me, what am I doing today? What are my scores? I'm not that. So I knew I was winning 12-0. You know, it's a 6x6. I was winning 12-0. I think I'm still winning, but I haven't checked in a couple of days. So now you got me worried that maybe I fell apart too.
It could happen, right? All right. Well, we come back. We'll start breaking down some of the news over the past couple of days. Listen to Roto Experts in the Morning with Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Yang pushing all the right buttons. We'll be right back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Right, ring the bells. It's Sunday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning with Joe Galina and George Kurtz. Yang producing our show, filling in for the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle. WrestleMania weekend. George, are you a wrestling guy?
No.
Just never been into it, or just, you know, have no interest at all?
No interest. I've never been into it. I've never watched wrestling at all. I mean, not one little
bit.
Yeah, it's so just not my thing. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's fake. So, it's scripted.
Right.
No. Just no. Well, they've,
you know, okay. Yeah, I mean, they've kind of not accepted, but, you know, made it known, you know, back in the day, you know, that they tried to hide the fact that it was scripted and fake and whatnot. But there was a guy, Dr. D. David Schultz, I think it was in the 80s. He was being interviewed probably on 2020, I think, John Stoltz, I think is the reporter's name, where I think he kind of asked him, I think that's the reporter's name, but it's definitely Dr. D. David Schultz. And he was asking him, you know, if wrestling was fake or whatnot. And Schultz promptly smacked him on the side of the head a few times to ask him, you know, do you think it's fake now? So, but I mean, like I said, I mean, the wrestling world has kind of come out and said, hey, you know, we're not really a sport. We're sports entertainment. I think part of that probably also had to do with the whole steroid thing where they weren't, I guess if they're sports entertainment, there's different things when it comes to, you know, monitoring steroid use of their performers or whatnot. But WrestleMania is, we emanate from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan and across the water in New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, WrestleMania happening. There was actually the Hall of Fame ceremony where one of the wrestlers, Bret Hart, was acceptance speech of he was nominated into the Hall of Fame, and he was attacked at Barclays Center in the ring, so that wasn't fake, so that was kind of scary. So I guess Weekend Fantasy Update, you and Cam, that's not going to be one of the events that you'll be betting on.
Oh, sure, Cam will be betting on it. All right, I would have no doubt whatsoever. But no, I know nothing about it. I mean, literally, I know less than that. If you didn't just say it was on tonight, I wouldn't have known.
Right.
And I wouldn't have cared one little bit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even though it is scripted, I mean, you don't really know exactly who's going to win. So people do bet on wrestling. So. We'll see, but that's fine. So why don't we get started here, George? In general, anything surprise you? And then we'll get into specific news. Anything like surprising you this week and a half into the season that you've seen? I mean, look, the Red Sox are off to a 2-8 start. They haven't played a home game yet, right? I mean, that's nothing really to worry. I mean, if you're a Red Sox fan or whatnot, 2-8, I mean, teams go through 2-8 spells, a few times a year in a 162 game season. But it's so evident now, because to start the season at 2-8, everyone just looks at your overall record and says, "What the heck is going on?"
Well, the problem with the Red Sox is not so much the record. You're right, 2-8. I mean, you went 2-8 in June. Yeah, you'd be concerned, but you wouldn't be raising 10,000 red flags. The problem is their starting rotation is getting crushed. I mean, everybody. Price had the best start probably of the year last night. He still got 4 runs in 6 innings. Mm-hmm. It was just far from great. It's a 6 ERA there, but Porcello, Sale, Eduardo Rodriguez, Eovaldi, they're all getting lit up, and that's the problem. Sale, we know his velocity's down, so what's going on there? So I think that's the biggest surprise to the Red Sox here. It's not so much that you're losing games. It happens, especially when you start out on the West Coast, which is probably not the schedule they would have drawn up. But the fact that their starting rotation just looks terrible is concerned. The Yankees can't hit, right? They're sort of breaking out of it now. It looks like, Judge 2 home runs last night, Clint Frazier the big home run. Still, that's all their runs. The 2 home runs from Judge, the 3-run shot from Frazier. They're having trouble scoring otherwise, and they've had a cake schedule, yet they have not taken advantage of it. I think they went for their 4-4. That's somewhat surprising. In fact, certain teams have got off to good starts. Seattle playing well, which was probably something we didn't expect for a team that we know is rebuilding. They were trading away anything they possibly could, and they still will. Edwin Encarnacion will be dealt eventually. So that's somewhat of a surprise. Not surprised about the National League East. We knew those teams were going to be good. Phillies, Braves, Mets, and Nationals, they're going to all beat the snot out of each other. So good luck there. The Cubs, right? They don't have any pitching at all, starting or or on the other bullpen, so they have issues. It looks like they took it out on Carl Edwards last night, sending him down, which is kind of strange. We thought Carl Edwards might get some saves because Strope got hurt in the spring training, but he ended up coming back. And now Edwards seems to be, I guess, the scapegoat, for what's going on there. So he got sent down. That's somewhat of a surprise. Once again, it's early. It's very early. Fantasy owners need to relax a little bit before. I have no problem churning the bottom of your roster. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. That league I just mentioned with before, I made a couple of moves during the break. players. It's first come, first serve. So DJ LeMahieu was out there, so I picked him up. He's batting, 478. Now he's got a full-time job. So, you make some moves there. By the way, I'm still 10-1 in that league, so I did not collapse. So
nice. I made you think, right?
Yeah, because sometimes I forget, because I don't play in any daily lineup leagues, so I tend not to look in these leagues except for, my fab and picking up players, like as I just did. So I don't really look at the if I'm winning or losing because I can't change it. There's nothing I can do to change the score there, so it's not important until really Sunday at the end. I'm not someone who has, while watching the games today, going to have all my leagues up on the tabs so I can follow the scores. It's just not what I do. You know, there are a couple other leagues I haven't checked yet to see where I am in the standings. Just not important. There's nothing I can do. I can't change it right now. You know, it's still early when I'm not looking to make any changes, any big changes to my roster yet. I'm a flag person. The first flag for me will be about mid-May, before Memorial Day. You know, see where I'm at. You know, then I'll figure out what between Memorial Day and really July 4th, what changes I need to make. What categories am I struggling? What players aren't not going to be their year, it looks like. You know, I give my players a month, 2 months before I start to worry about them. I assume most players are going to put up the same numbers they always put up. You know, maybe a little bit more, depending on certain guys. But I don't want to panic and start releasing my seventh-round pick, a guy I like, because he gets off to a slow start. But you see people do that all the time. On a Twitter question the other day, someone told me, it's going to be a list of players available. And he goes, hey, and someone just released Patrick Corbin. My first thought was, are you playing in a six-team league? Why is anybody releasing Patrick Corbin at the one start? You know, so I was like, go claim him. Don't talk to me. Go claim this guy. You know, he shouldn't be released.
And you got to wonder who he was released for. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess I agree with you. I mean, you got to trust the work that you've put in. Hopefully you've put in some work, you know, pre-draft in terms of evaluating your players. And look, you know, it's so early in the season that, you know, a player could bring their batting average. You know, if someone goes 4-for-4 and they were batting 200, you know, I don't have the exact numbers, but they're going to have a respectable batting average by the end of the day. It's that early in the season. There's that few at-bats that have had where you're going to have these huge swings this early in the season.
Absolutely. I mean, and also you can move up. You can move up in the standings real quick as well. You have one good day. Yeah. You can go from, you know, ninth to first to second real quick. You know, it happens all the time. It's just nothing's ingrained in stone yet. You know,
right. And unfortunately, vice versa.
Yes, that's also true. Yeah, a bad day or two, you're gonna drop like a stone. You know, such is life. But like I said, I don't panic about these things. It's a long season. It's not football. Well, God, I'm 0-3. I'm screwed. No, you're really not. It's a long season. You've got time. You've got time. And I tend to take it that way. I relax, you know, check things out, go slow, and make sure I'm not overreacting to anything.
By the way, you mentioned football. At the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, is going to join us. And, you know, Jim, just absolutely a brilliant football mind. And he's going to keep us on track with some of the news that's been going on, get his take on some stuff in terms of, the whole Josh Rosen stuff and you know, some news on the draft that you know, just basically he's going to keep us flying straight when it comes to football. We get so distracted when it's the start of baseball season, you know, where it's a baseball, you know, but 2 or 3 months down the line, George, we're going to be focused on football. I shouldn't even say 2 or 3 months, you know, just a few weeks. The draft is coming up.
Yeah, he took 2.5 weeks till the draft comes up, and in my Dynasty League, we'll have our draft shortly thereafter for rookies. So I'll certainly be paying attention to find out what's going on there. But yeah, football season's all gearing up. Did you read the Bleacher Report about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy?
No. If you could fill me in. I mean, I think I saw that come across, but I didn't have a chance to read it.
It's a good read. It's a long read. I mean, that's a couple thousand word column there, but it is very unflattering about both players. Player and coach about maybe some dysfunction that was going on there. That McCarthy was getting massages during meetings and not showing up. Rodgers is a
McCarthy, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's so there's some screwed up things going on there. So it was a good read. It really was a good read there. That a good job by the author, who I don't remember right now. But it was like I said, a very good column. You're gonna need some time.
Yeah.
If you're gonna read this on the throne, you're gonna be there a little bit. But I read that Friday night, and that was a good read. So we forgot about that. Dallas signs DeMarcus Lawrence, which was coming, and then Russell Wilson this week with all his demands that he wants to bail long-term contract by April 15th.
Yeah, right, by tax day, yeah. Just, we'll talk football in the next hour, but just in general, how did they paint Rodgers as a prima donna, or, you know, what's the main gist of Aaron Rodgers, according to the article?
Well, he was definitely painted in unflattering terms. I mean, mm-hmm. Someone who's very prickly, very little insecure, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe he needs to be challenged, whatever it is, but him and it looks like Rodgers, if you believe the article, just never forgave McCarthy for passing. Remember, McCarthy came from San Fran, and San mm-hmm. Fran passed on Rodgers for Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Rodgers still hasn't forgiven him for that. So it just doesn't seem like it ever worked out that Rodgers sort of believed he was smarter than McCarthy, that McCarthy was mm-hmm. actually an idiot. He didn't agree with the play calling probably a bunch of the times. Up to a third of the times he would change the play at the line of scrimmage, you know, and stuff like that. Just dysfunctional. Very dysfunctional here. Should be interesting to see what LaFleur can do. They have a new coach for Green Bay.
All right. So good stuff. Yeah, definitely make sure to read that. Sounds real interesting. So we were talking about the Red Sox. They lost to the Diamondbacks last night, 5-4. No J.D. Martinez in the lineup. Don't read too much into that. They probably just wanted to give him a day off. Also, there's no DH. So I guess they
J.D. Martinez just had a night off, and he did play later on. He pitched mm-hmm. it, so he's fine. No reason to worry about Martinez. Hey, it is what it is in National League ballparks. Until they finally get rid of the pitcher hitting, which I've always been a proponent of. I don't care what they do, Joe. I don't care if they add the DH to both leagues or pitcher hits in both leagues. Just make both leagues the same. I think it's idiotic that we have different rules in these leagues. But now, mm-hmm. I mean, last year was the worst year for pitchers hitting ever. Right? They were terrible. All right, and I know DeGrom hit a home run this week. So did Bumgarner. So did Greinke.
Greinke, yeah.
But most pitchers suck.
And yes.
Half of them are afraid. They don't even want to be up there. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a joke. If we want more offensive baseball, I think it's time, though. I think the pitcher hitting is come and gone. All right? And mm-hmm. I think a DH will be instituted as soon as the new CBA gets there in 2022. So, we're in an era where it's time has come. We want more mm-hmm. offense, and I think that'll be the end of the pitcher hitting, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, traditionalists will disagree, but I'm with you. I mean, I love offense, and look, you know, like you said, you know, most pitchers can't hit their way out of a paper bag, and there's always that shot that, you know, they get injured either running the bases or, you know, something happening there on a swing. Crazy things happen. So, but you're right. It should be a uniform thing. But Benintendi last night, Andrew Benintendi, 2-for-3 with a runs with an RBI for the Diamondbacks. Adam Jones, man, he really is playing with a purpose this year. You know, he hung around all spring. Nobody wanted to sign him. Finally, the Diamondbacks gave him a chance. He was 2-for-4 last night with a run batted in, batting 400, been batting leadoff for the Diamondbacks to start the season. What are your thoughts on Adam Jones the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, Jones starting late in spring training pretty much. Arizona really only had a job, or only a full-time job, because Steven Souza wrecked his knee going mm-hmm. at the home plate there. So he's got into a very hot start. I mean, Jones, you go from Camden to whatever they're calling Arizona now. Arizona has the humidor, so it's not quite the ballpark it used to be. Maybe the Bulls juiced now, maybe it's not. With all the mm-hmm. home runs being hit, it certainly seems like it's juiced again. I think if he's still available, you think he's a pickup. You look at the auction mm-hmm. tonight, he'll go for, I imagine, $7-$8. It's kind of the too hot a start. Where at the, you know, 2 weeks ago, you could have got him for a buck or two, probably in an auction. Yeah. Maybe, maybe twice, at 3 or 4. But he wouldn't have been all that expensive because, hey, we weren't expecting him to play full time, and it was Adam Jones. And maybe his time has come, but it seems like he still has some juice left there, right? Still has some energy left. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So good for Jones. I don't think he can keep it up over a long season. You know, certainly you're not going to prorate the numbers. He's not going to hit 40 home runs. But I like what's going on right now. So I think he's a little mm-hmm. bit more on my radar than he was 10 days ago.
Right, right. I think it was the TGFBI league. I picked him up second to last round. So we're talking what 28th, 29th round, and yeah, you know, I didn't really intend to keep, you know, put him in my lineup, but he's there. And you're right. I mean, he's definitely going to cool off, and he's not the player that he once was. I mean, he was a guy that would, you know, hit for power and then steal you some bases, you know. But you just got to temper your expectations when it comes to him. But nice to see him off to a hot start for the Diamondbacks. And David Peralta also been off to a hot start, 1-for-4 last night. Eduardo Escobar, he was really slumping, but went 3-for-4 against the Red Sox last night. Only brought his average up to like 189. That shows you how poorly he was doing. But you're the closer guy. You're the closer guru. Archie Bradley was brought in, blew the save, and then Greg Holland came in for the win. Holland has two saves. Would you consider him? He's been named the closer, right?
Yeah, Holland's the closer, but how long he lasts is anyone's guess. It certainly won't be the entire season. They have some issues there. I think Bradley is their best reliever, but they also want to use him for more than just three outs, more than just the ninth inning. They want to bring him in the seventh inning if that's when the game's on the line. You know, for the second one out, they want to be able to bring in Bradley for the seventh and then finish off the eighth as well and use him in that way. And that's probably the right way to use him, the right way to use any of your best relievers. Most teams just don't do that. But Holland, if you look at the saves, Holland's the guy you want.
Absolutely. Okay, there you go. You heard it from the closer guru, George Kurtz. We'll be back with more Roto Express in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Not just I, it's me with George Kurtz, juggling it along with George Kurtz, Ozzy Osbourne, taking us on a ride on the crazy train here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's listen to the promo coming in, and Gabe, host of The Morning After, Monday through Friday, along with Joe Ranieri. Talking about the situation with the Dominic Smith not being able to go number one with the we're testing him. From what I understand, I was they actually watch you, so maybe he got a little shy and it couldn't go that way. You know, it's tough to go to the bathroom when you have someone actually standing over you and watching you.
There's some pressure there too, man. You know, we've always had to take. I take a piss test, right, for different jobs. Mm-hmm. And I remember once I couldn't go. And no one's watching, you know, for these things. But it's couldn't go. Couldn't go. Mm-hmm. Sucked. Had to wait a bit before I could go there. That was annoying. But I said I don't blame that for the Mets not playing well on opening day. You know, well, their home opener, I should say. You know, they didn't play very well with Washington. I think that was more of a Strasburg thing that just shut them down. But, you know, it can happen. It's funny. And it is kind of funny when you think about it that, hey, he couldn't go. And as Gabe said, it is kind of funny. It's the Mets, too. That makes sense, right? Weird things always seem to happen to the Mets there. So, but like I said, even I think if the flight was delayed a little bit over an hour, not a big deal. I can't see that being the reason they didn't play well for their home opener. And once again, teams have to go through this all season long. This is not just the Mets that have to go through this, where they'll have to, you know, leave it from one city at 10, 11 o'clock at night, get home at 3 o'clock in the morning and not get much sleep for a day game. And the Mets have no one but themselves to blame anyway. They're the ones who schedule the times. You know, they were worried about this. They knew they were playing in Miami the night before. They could have easily made that. I understand it's the home opener. You could have made it 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock if you wanted to. You didn't. So I don't know if I'm feeling all that bad for the Metsies.
There you go. There you go. Spoken like a true Yankees fan. Hey, we're going to be talking some baseball news.
I don't hate the Mets.
News.
I know. I never understand that. I never understand the hatred. I'm a Yankee fan. I should hate the Mets. Why? We play them four times a year. Other than that, I don't care.
Because I'm
a fantasy player. I have players on my team other than Mets. I have Cano on a whole
Me
bunch
too.
Of teams.
Me too. This is the most Met players I've ever had in fantasy. You know, because Jeff McNeil, Alonso, I love him. Nemo's getting off to a very tough start, but I liked him. But hey, since we've been talking Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball season is now in full swing, it's time to swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become their eighth, $1 million winner, or another one of the countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars using DailyRoto.com to help set their DraftKings or FanDuel MLB lineups. If you are playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're just doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. So good stuff happening at the DailyRoto.com site. 7 millionaires already created, looking for their eighth. The lineup optimizer, really a great tool to use when setting up your DFS lineups on a daily basis. So let's take a look at some of the news that came out, within the past day or so. Ronald Guzman, first baseman for the Rangers, had an MRI done. We'll get the results. Right hamstring tightness. So just reading up on this, Guzman was a guy I was kind of in on, just late in drafts. He was a guy, it was either him or Ryan O'Hearn from the Royals. I kind of preferred Ryan O'Hearn. But Guzman was a guy I thought could hit, 20 home runs for the season. So we'll see how long he's out. But maybe now we've got Rangers aren't sure what they're going to be doing, but Joey Gallo had been playing the outfield this season, but in the past had played first base. Who knows? Maybe they call up Willie Calhoun. Calhoun is a guy that, man, I was in on last year. He did nothing. Just a top-rated prospect that just has so far not performed up to par. But you remember Matt Davidson from the White Sox did all those home runs quick streak. Maybe they call up him. The only thing is he's not on the 40-man roster. There's a guy, Patrick Wisdom, who is on the 40-man roster. Another option, career minor leaguer, upper 20s. Not much of an average guy, but good power. But Guzman, do you own Guzman on any of your teams there, George?
No. I'm thinking back in my head now. I don't believe so. There's a chance he could be on one, maybe a best ball league, but certainly not more than one. I don't remember him at all. It wasn't somebody I was targeting. I don't know if he'll have a job all year long here. But you're right, the power. He could hit 20. It wouldn't shock me. Mm-hmm. Hell, if he plays the Yankees a whole bunch, he'll hit 30. It's one of those players that seems to love hit the Yankees very well there.
Yeah.
But not someone I was targeting in my draft. He's not someone I target. He's someone I end up with. Okay. He's left. I'll take Guzman. But generally, this is the way I approach it late in, because that's where he's going to go. He's going to go later in your drafts. I'm looking at category fillers, and I probably didn't need power in most leagues. I'm probably looking for average guys to help that. So that's how I would approach that. So, no, Guzman's not someone I'm all that worried about. The fact that he got hurt doesn't affect me all that much. And really, to be honest, it shouldn't affect most fantasy owners. That's an injury you should be
unless you're playing
to get past.
Yeah, unless you're playing a real deep league. Yep. So the Rockies, Ryan McMahon, they send it to the 10-day injured list. Remember, it's not the DL, it's the IL. He joins first baseman Daniel Murphy there. How do we think that this affects the Rockies there, George? I mean, Mark Reynolds, McMahon had been playing a lot of first base since Murphy's had been gone. And then, of course, Garrett Hampson was a guy that, was drafted, I guess, people were speculating on him that he'd get some playing time, and Hampson, a guy that could steal a ton of bases given the opportunity. But, Mark Reynolds at first base, Do you think that they would maybe move Ian Desmond here and there back to first base? Looks like they were satisfied keeping him in the outfield. By the way, what the heck is going on with Desmond batting 100? I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, we'll talk about him after you talk about McMahon, but is Desmond worth the headache? But what do you think about this Ryan McMahon injury and how it's going to affect the Rockies lineup going forward?
Well, he's got what? He's got a hyperextended elbow. All right, so he's going to be out for a little bit. They haven't announced the severity of the injury. I mean, we're talking just barely, or is it a big-time hyperextension? Is he going to be out 2 weeks, a month? You know, we don't know that. So we'll wait and see what happens there with Ryan McMahon. Listen, I thought the Rockies have been in strange the last couple of years with how they go about their free agency. I didn't think it made much sense to sign Ian Desmond. He didn't need a shortstop. You converted him to the outfield, but you really didn't need that either. And first base, well, you know, really, Desmond first base, not quite your the hitter you want at first base there. And then Murphy was the same exact thing. You didn't need a second baseman, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and you didn't need a first baseman.
Right.
So what are you doing? I mean, really, what are you doing here? It was just strange. It's like they're putting together a fantasy team, just, you know, throwing players at certain positions and hoping they fit there. And that's it. I haven't liked what the Rockies have done at all here. Now, I expect it to be where, hey, you know, yeah, Reynolds is going to play a lot more first base. Hampson's going to play second base, and it solves some problems for now. You did mention Desmond, maybe he moves about the first base for a little bit. I don't think so. Yeah, it crossed my mind as well, though, that this could happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't think so because, you know, they're going to want Reynolds to play a little bit. Desmond's not doing anything that says he should play first base. His defense has been okay in the outfield, so that's not really a problem. The only way that would happen is if they want to get Tapia in the lineup. And I think they want to get Tapia in my lineup. They'll just sit Desmond because he's not hitting at all. So why do you feel the need to put him in there and put him back at first base? So I'm not all that worried about Desmond moving to first base right now. No.
And another guy that he was at second base for them last night, Pat Valaika. He was 0-3 last night for them, too. So there's a lot of moving parts to this Rockies team. And I agree with you. I mean, they just seem to make moves kind of like haphazardly, you know?
For an organization that doesn't have a ton of money, you know, they're not poor, but they're not they're not the Yankees or the Red Sox. How they spend it is just weird. Yeah, it's just weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like I said, I'll never understand the moves they've made. You need pitching. You know, always need pitching. You keep going for more bats at positions where you don't need a bat. I mean, your hitting's fine. So it's just weird where you're putting in, you know, the old square pegs into round holes. So I just don't understand what they've done. Desmond, Murphy, it's just made very little sense to me.
Yeah. And so, by the way, the Rockies lost to the Dodgers 7-2 last night. Notable performances. I tell you, Justin Turner, if you take a look at his numbers, career numbers, not only at Coors Field, but just in general, when he plays the Rockies, loves him. 3-for-4 last night for the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger, nice night, 2-for-4. Alex Verdugo hit a home run. He was 2-for-4 last night. And Verdugo's a guy that, you know, in another one of my leagues, I drafted him real late as well, just hoping that maybe he would be able to get some regular playing time. And it looks like, obviously he's going to get his starts, but as far as regular playing time, you know, there's just, a lot of moving parts there as well. But I like him, man.
That's the problem with the Dodgers. They have a lot of pieces out there, a lot of players who need to play, which means someone probably not worthy of a sit is going to have to sit every night. You know, I mentioned in that auction league tonight, the reason I'm not going to keep Max Muncy, or at least I'm leaning towards not keeping Muncy, has nothing to do with him. It's just the fact that he's probably going to sit once a week. You know, Bellinger's going to play first base. You know, Peterson, Pollock, Verdugo. You know, Bellinger's still in the outfield as well. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that are, who's going to play, who's going to sit? You know, and I don't want to go through that. Enrique Hernandez off to a hot start as well. He might play some outfield. So there's a lot of guys out there. They have a lot of, and it's a good problem to have for a baseball team, not good for a fantasy owner. That's my issue there. Muncy, I believe it. I do think he's going to keep it up. I think the man can hit. But I don't know if I want to get somebody who I know is going to sit one day a week. He's going to be like a catcher who's going to have to sit one day a week to get somebody else some playing time. I just don't like doing that.
Right. With you on that. Walker Buehler, 5 innings pitched, an earned run, 4 Ks, 2 walks last night. used him in one of my lineups on the main slate in DFS, a little reluctantly, but looks like the you know, I was a little concerned too when you know he started to throw late in spring. They said he just wasn't feeling right, but so far, you know, let's take it one start at a time. But so far, so good when it comes to Bueller.
Well, he got wrecked his first start, so that wasn't good. All right, he had a rebounded yesterday, which was strange because probably nobody started him because of Coors Field. You know, right. Cam and I talked yesterday about the a DFS slate, and really for the night slate, there weren't a lot of good options, and Bueller was one. You know, maybe and I thought I would start. You know, I ended up not doing it. I wish I would have, but. He was an option, but because he had the poor first start, and it was Colorado, I wasn't starting him in DFS, so I couldn't pull that trigger there. So good to see that he rebounded some. I feel better about him now. You know, maybe this first start was because of the, what do you want to call it, abbreviated spring training, screwed up spring training, whatever it might be, and now he's back to normal. Because I think he's fine. I think he's going to be a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. I do. I didn't draft him in any leagues because I thought he was going too high for someone who's very unproven, and I was worried about innings limit. I was worried about pitch count and all that other stuff. You know, that comes along in this day and age with younger pitchers. So I don't have him anywhere. But good to see that he pitched well again last night. I think it'll make us fantasy owners feel a lot better about him.
Right. You're right. He did get wrecked in his first start, but I'm just thrilled that, you know, there's no injuries. You know, you don't come up lame. He's able to make that second start, and the fact that he pitched pretty well in Coors is encouraging too. So, and like you said, abbreviated spring training, so that's got to be taken into account as well. I'll backtrack a little bit with the Red Sox, and you had mentioned Chris Sale. I mean, you mentioned basically the problem with the overall Red Sox starting rotation, and I meant to ask you about Chris Sale, where it came out this week that the Red Sox pitching coach obviously asked questions about him and said, hey, look, you know, this is pretty much, you know, you're concerned about Chris Sale's decrease in velocity. And look, he came out and said it's all part of the plan. You know, we want him to be effective for the long haul. And obviously a team like the Red Sox, teams like the Yankees and other contenders, their concern is having their star pitchers available to them, deep into October.
Well, I didn't read this interview, but whatever he just said there is a lie. Okay, that they want him to throw slower? No. All right, that you don't want him to overexert himself, but the decrease in velocity is a concern. Yeah, it's certainly a concern. That being said, they just signed into that big extension.
Yeah.
Okay. If they had any doubts about his arm, they would have never done that. So as far as a month ago, he was fine. Right. You know what's happened since then. You know, maybe he suffered an injury. That this is concerning. This is their plan. Get the hell out of here. All right. that's certainly not their plan to have him throw slower.
It's all part of the plan.
Right. That's all bullcrap. You know that's just the NFL draft. Everyone's lying in the NFL draft now too. Everybody's lies. The Red Sox are concerned. You have to be concerned. Where's that velocity gone? And not that even if it is gone, it's not that he can't pitch without it. I mean, we've seen he'll have to make the adjustments and become more of a pitcher than a thrower. All right, it happens. Mm-hmm. As pitchers get older, you don't throw as hard. You have to learn to spot the ball up, down, in, out, change speeds. All right, so it's not that. Once again, we're not talking brain surgery here. It's you can figure it out and you can do it. But for the Red Sox to say this is part of their plan. No, it's not part of their plan. Hey, Chris, only throw at 85%, okay? Throw it a little slower. You know, that's not happening. All right, the velocity is being down. It means either there's something wrong physically or it's just, once again, age taking its effect. Could be for the long season last year. You know, once again, won the World Series. Hey, pitched in the in relief a lot on short rest, so they used him a lot. So I do believe they have a plan for him as far as resting him this year and not over-abusing him. But throwing slower is not one of those ideas.
You got trust issues there, Kurt. You got trust issues. I agree with you.
All lying.
When we come back, we can continue talking fantasy baseball. But we've got the fantasy Taz, Jim Day, who's going to be joining us, talking some fantasy football as well.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.